Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then we consider what you know of the news of the day. Menteri Besar Hasni Mohamad over the weekend received royal assent for the dissolution of the Johor State Legislative Assembly, thus triggering snap polls, despite having the mandate to govern the state till June of 2023. Now, the UMNO-led Johor government cited the instability of having only a single seat majority as the reason for early polls. This despite the opposition's promise not to threaten the stability of the state government amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, elections must be called within 60 days of the dissolution of the state assembly, and the Election Commission says that they are going to make an announcement on the date soon, So in the meantime, how are political stakeholders preparing for in Johor? Let's ask our first guest tonight. Bastian On is an exco member of UMNO Youth. Bastian, can you explain to us why exactly does UMNO want the Johor elections to be held now, despite there not being any imminent threat to political stability?
First of all, there is an occasion where in the past that the Johor State Assembly, the ruling party UMNO, and the government BN have to at the mercy of a speaker in order to deter one suggestion from the opposition. And the situation arise because Osman Sapian, the ex Johor MP, passed away, and this triggered the whole thing. And we understand that it is no longer acceptable for a state government to rely on a single majority.
But Bastian, you know, when we look at the federal level, you know, the dynamics there are in many ways framed by this MOU and understanding between the ruling party coalition and the opposition coalition, that has provided a kind of stability or at least a new framework of understanding, especially in these dire times. There are, of course, theories that the reason behind this move is not to do with instability, but really has to do with internal UMNO dynamics. I know that your information chief has denied it, but is there pressure, Hasni being, I understand, part of that faction that isn't aligned to Najib Razak and Zayed? And so, you know, is that there any truth in factionalism being the driver for this move?
It is so wrong that there has got nothing to do with a faction within UMNO. It's just merely because we couldn't hold the Johor State Assembly anymore. For example, just imagine if one of the state assemblies on the government side is affected with COVID and couldn't attend the Johor State Assembly. And how can you pass a bill if you have to rely at the mercy of the opposition? This bill could be something which is very close to the people, and that you need to serve the people. For example, like you have to pass on the health issues, economic issues, and this is not helping. And I don't think that it is right for you to remain with the government. And I think it's a wise move by Dato' Hasni to call it off and dissolve the state assembly.
Okay, well, if it's not internal UMNO dynamics, could it be internal coalition dynamics? Is this move to do with Bersatu, lessening Bersatu's leverage over UMNO? Because Hasni has already said it's likely that Barisan Nasional will go at it in these polls alone.
I think this the formation of the state government itself, that the Bersatu and UMNO rely on each other. So, as you can see, there is two ex-Menteri Besar Johor in the current state government before it is dissolved. So, I don't think that there is an issue an understanding between the two parties that represent the Malay in Johor.
Bastian, we do have Johor Bahru Bersatu Deputy Chief reaching out to Pakatan Harapan, actually, and also some voices on the Pakatan Harapan side, I believe one representative from Amanah, suggesting that Bersatu is brought into Pakatan's tent. They clearly all see UMNO as their main challenge. Does UMNO view Bersatu as perhaps even more of a threat to its strength than Pakatan Harapan?
I just need to remind that actually Bersatu the one who deprived PH from power, and they the one who initiated this direct move. I don't think that PH needs to work with Bersatu anymore. But again, it's politics that it is important that for you to win. And I think that Bersatu think that the formula G14 is workable in Johor. But people in Johor already know the consequences of voting for them. So it's up to Bersatu whether they want to work with PH or Pakatan Harapan want to work with Bersatu. But I need to remind them that it is Bersatu that deprived them from the power in the past.
Bastian, how would you, is there a recognition in preparation for the upcoming elections? Is there a recognition of political fatigue, of the fatigue that voters may have to the fourth state elections we're going to be having during this pandemic?
The cause of the political fatigue itself, Melissa, is because of the instability that was caused by Bersatu, for example, or the mandate that was given to the government was not strong. So this needs to be corrected. And I think this is the best avenue for the people to choose again who's the right government to lead them for the future.
Bastian, why isn't UMNO embracing Bersatu in this particular fight? I mean, why not continue with the relationship and into this particular state election?
There is an occasion where we have, for example, we are looking at Melaka itself. You know? There is many occasions that we try to discuss and firm up a few things that we should again UMNO policy itself. Then, and I think that in view of present situation, UMNO think that it's only workable for us to stand alone. And this is not because we think that we are so good, but we want to tell the people that we are ready to be the government again and serve the people well.
Bastian An from UMNO Youth, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We're going to take a quick break. More on this topic in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned. Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. If you've just joined us on the show, we're discussing the upcoming Johor elections. This is going to be the fourth state elections that that's been called during this pandemic. We speak now to Liao Chai Tung. She's the incumbent Johor Jaya Assembly person from DAP. Chai Tung, the incumbent Johor Menteri Besar Hazmi Mohamad has justified the snap polls, saying that the state government cannot function solely based on the opposition's goodwill. He's citing the single seat majority currently in the assembly. And I'm just wondering whether you you accept this rationale, this reasoning for calling for snap polls.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, as you all know, actually, Johor state government already dissolved on last Saturday, 22nd of January. So before the dissolution, we have been received a lot of calls from public asking whether is it true that state government is going to be dissolved. Next, after receive the official announcement, people asking what's the necessity of having dissolution at this time, especially for Chinese because it is right before Chinese New Year. So generally, public think that there's no need to have these snap polls as we are still facing COVID. And for Johor, border is yet to open, I mean the border between Malaysia and Singapore. So when people cannot commute as usual to travel in and out between Singapore and Malaysia, they can't even come back to work. So obviously, this is just for us that we think that this is just a so-called permanent politic UMNO for having this net poll at this moment.
How will it impact you in particular, Chai Tung, as the Johor Jaya Assembly person? Your voter base, is it likely not to come out to vote? Are many of your voters from out of state? How do you think this poll will go? Will it be a repeat of Malacca?
Okay, for Johor Jaya, maybe it should be concluded as a Southern Johor. Most of our voters are in Singapore. As Johor Jaya is a quite huge state, before the Undi 18, I have 61,000 of voters, and now it's nearly to 92,000 of voters in Johor Jaya. So we have increased about 30,000 of voters. And as I know, before this, for last election, general election, most of the voters are working in Singapore. So to have this net post at this moment, it will bring a huge impact for me in Johor Jaya, and especially for Southern Johor.
At the federal level, there is an MOU in place where the opposition has promised not to threaten the stability of politics during this time. I'm just wondering, at the state legislative assembly level, has there been any signs of political instability or anything to threaten the stability of the state assembly that might cause the UMNO-led government to want to call for the elections based on this reason?
I think Dato' Hasni has clearly stated that because of our Mantan MB, Dato' Osman Sapian, who left us in last year, December. So for Johor, we have only one seat difference between government and opposition party. So it might cause maybe UMNO feel that this is not a stable government for them. However, I think at this moment, when we are still facing pandemic, people's voices are more important than for a government to just mind gun issue politics for having the election now. Because people are looking for a stable life, and after 2 years of COVID, when people are suffering from PKP, from MCO, people are more concerned on economy and also concerned of how can the government to help them in post-COVID. So I think actually for government, to having this net poll at this moment is not a very wise decision.
Okay, Chai Tung, I want to ask you, now, of course, it's a done deal. The DAP, the Pakatan Harapan, and all parties will have to strategize. What is the Pakatan Harapan strategy in Johor? How is it going to be different from the last state election? And will we see new alliances being made in this election?
I think for this coming state election, as from the experience from Malacca and also Sarawak, we have faced a lot of challenge. Especially now, we can't really have a cerama during the campaign period because of COVID, and there are a lot of SOP for the campaign period. So mainly, what will make the difference is, first, we are facing those who are eligible to vote, especially for 18 years old until 21 years old. So this is one of the challenges. And another, that we need to do most of the campaign through online and social media.
Okay, that's quite interesting. I'm just wondering whether we're going to be seeing a more united opposition, whether we see Amanah pushing for a coalition, a more unity within opposition parties, including incorporating MUDA, and you mentioned the youth vote. What is the thinking among DAP politicians on that front?
I'm looking positive in a positive way, that to work collaborative with MUDA. so that we can be united and also to target more youth votes.
Chaito, you know, the Johor Bahru Bersatu deputy chief has been reported as reaching out to Pakatan Harapan, saying that perhaps this is a time for Bersatu to rejoin Pakatan Harapan in a fight against UMNO. How would you respond to that suggestion?
I think I will leave it to our federal, the Majlis Pimpinan to decide on this.
Okay, Chaiting, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Liao Chaiting, assembly person for Johor Jaya. We're going to take another quick break here and consider this, but stay tuned. We will be back with more. Hi, thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. We'll continue our conversation now about the upcoming Johor State elections. Let's speak to Muhammad Rashid Abu Bakar. He's the Information Chief for Muda Johor. Rashid, Pakatan Harapan has engaged Muda in discussions about a potential pact for the upcoming Johor State elections. I'm just wondering what is the current state of negotiations and what is at stake in these negotiations? Can you help us understand what is going to be important for Muda?
Hi, good evening, guys. Thank you very much. For us, I think we had several meetings with Pakatan Harapan leadership over in Johor and of course in the central. So for us, it's very important for us to portray Muda as it is, and we would like to actually strengthen the strength of the party itself, and we would like to be we would like to have more representatives who are younger, fresh, and competent compared to what we've been having traditionally in the country. So I think it's very important for us to have quite a good number of seats in the negotiation, and the negotiation is still going on. So hopefully, it will fall through. And we can agree on the number of seats as soon as possible.
Rashid, of course, you know, with Pakatan Harapan and I think a recent call for a big tent approach, they are reaching out not only to Muda, but also Perjuang, I believe. How does this, perhaps even Warisan, how does this work out? Because the more parties there are in the coalition, the smaller the number of seats there will be for any of the parties, especially the new entrants. What exactly is Muda's bargaining chip in these discussions? What is it saying to its coalition or potential coalition partners about why it should get more seats?
Thank you. From our standpoint, it's not really in any case how many parties are involved in the coalition or the electoral pact itself. It's a matter of how can we negotiate to have a more stable coalition and no longer a coalition that is one-sided or that is too concentrated on one party or not the other. We believe that kind of coalition and that kind of agreement would give a more stable working government rather than a coalition or a pact that has one-sided heavier than the other.
Rashid, this state election will likely be the litmus test to show whether new younger voters will actually make a difference. I'm just wondering what the thinking is behind the negotiations. Is there a lot of weight being placed on, you know, a lot of expectation being placed on young voters coming out to vote and supporting parties like Muda?
Honestly, Melissa, our current standpoint and what we've been discussing all the while since the dissolution of the state government is not really focusing only on Undi 18 or Undi automatic. We've been focusing on the whole democratic process of the election itself. rather than focusing on those issues. But yes, those particular things that we discussed about, which is very, very important, as well as what we've seen in Malacca and what we've seen in Sarawak as well. The voters turnout has been very, very low, and I think we should accommodate voters to come back and vote to make sure that we have a better and good voter turnout, because it's redundant to actually do an election if you cannot accommodate voters turnout that is high, because we are talking about the voice of the people. So we want as many people to come out to vote. Doesn't matter whether they are young, old, everybody has an obligation to the country, to the state.
Yeah, but Rashid, there are some structural difficulties. I mean, we spoke to Lai Chai Tung, and she was saying that the border closure with Singapore means that Malaysians working in Singapore, many of them from Johor, won't be coming back for an election. And the VTL, I don't know if it'll actually facilitate that. And also, you know, the Election Commission has not proven itself particularly innovative in dealing with COVID and in reassuring voters that they are safe when they vote. So you have many disincentives to vote, in fact, or barriers to voting. How will that be overcome?
Honestly, yes, I do agree with that. Actually, hundreds of thousands of Malaysians are still in Singapore and they couldn't come back. Even VTL, the VTL initiative was actually quite restrictive, especially with the Omicron virus, and Singapore government has been very cautious about letting people in and out of the country. So I truly believe that it's very important for SPR to consider all of this and give as much leniency and as much consideration to actually help voters cast their vote, and so that we are not seen as suppressing voters. We are not seen as purposely making it so that voters can't come out and cast their votes.
Yeah, but Rashid, let's be realistic. History in the last couple of years has not proven, to the contrary, we've not seen any innovation. So let's put that aside. I mean, so what will you do? I mean, what concrete steps are you thinking about that might, in fact, enthuse voters to come out despite the restrictions, despite the lack of any kind of innovative ideas to ensure their security during the elections?
Yeah, I agree. So from history, we can see that it hasn't been very accommodative. But with the new numbers of voters that is rolled in over the past couple of months, we believe that demography is different. So I believe that so long that we can drive as much as possible for people to come out and vote, I think it could actually come with a little bit of a difference with what happens in Malacca and Sarawak. But it okay. all comes back to whether all parties and all coalitions want to ride behind this idea and actually motivate people to come out and vote.
Rashid, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Muhammad Rashid Abu Bakar of Muda Johor. And that ends our show for tonight. That's all we have for you. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, and good night.
Good night.